Good afternoon. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the June 6, 2022 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Management Committee. Telephonic access to this meeting is also being provided for the public. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this in-person and telephonic meeting.
Hello, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for you on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Brenda Clement from Housing Works, Rhode Island.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Corinne Myers, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide additional information on this meeting.
Good afternoon. This is Corinne Myers speaking. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website to view today's agenda and information on the actions being taken. If the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chairman of the Management Committee, James Thorson, will preside at today's meeting. Commissioners and staff, when you speak during the meeting, please state your name prior to speaking. If applicable, please mute your telephone or computer to minimize any background noise. And with that, I will turn it over to Committee Chairman Thorson to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Corinne. Thorson, I'd like to call this meeting to order, and the time is 3:04 p.m. This is better than 3:06, which is when we started last time. Carol, can you conduct a roll call, please, of the Management Committee Board of Commissioners in attendance? And all right, I'll take that.
Yes, thank you. This is Carol Ventura. Commissioner James Thorson.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Liam Byrne.
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Carol. It's Jim Thorson again, and I'd like to introduce committee action number one, which is the approval of the minutes of the Management Committee meeting held on March 7th, 2022.
So, yeah, I make a motion to approve the minutes.
It's Jim Thorson. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'd like to ask General Counsel to conduct a voice vote on the motion.
This is Corinne speaking. Commissioners, if you are in favor of recommending approval of the minutes of the Management Committee meeting held on March 7, 2022, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Jim Thorson again for committee action number two, recommendation for approval of the FY 2022 Community Development Program Funding Awards. And we have James Comer, our Deputy Executive Director, who will present committee action number two.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is James Comer. This request is for approval of grant funding under the FY22 Community Development Program. There is $500,000 made available in funding. Funding provides funding for the following priority areas: programs and projects to promote housing stability and increase economic self-sufficiency, such as financial literacy, home ownership education, workforce development, tenant education, and health and wellness. Provide support for resident service coordinators to address an increased need for tenant stability due to COVID-19 related stresses and challenges, and funds to sustain or expand innovative programming created or identified as needed in response to the pandemic, such as programs to address social isolation and access to healthy food. Programs must support residents living in Rhode Island housing finance developments and will be awarded for a 3-year term to allow for increased sustainability and the ability to assess outcomes over a longer period of time. We issued an RFP in March, received 27 proposals requesting a total of $3.7 million in funding. A committee consisting of staff from Executive, Home Ownership, Development and Leased Housing and Rental Services divisions reviewed proposals in accordance with the criteria set forth in the RFP. We are recommending funding for 4 organizations. The first award is for NeighborWorks Blackstone River Valley in an amount of $125,000. Our funding is going to support the launch of a comprehensive asset building and resident services initiative across 8 developments in Northern Rhode Island, serving a total of 850 households. This initiative will provide residents access to resources and tools needed to address COVID-19 related stresses and challenges and support their overall wellness and success. The second award is for Open Doors, located in Providence, in an amount of $75,000. That's to support an on-site peer recovery coach and clinical therapy for the 19 tenants living in their permanent supportive housing. The next is for Phoenix Property Management in the amount of $150,000 to support a resident service coordinator for Apple Creek Apartments and Sandywood Farms, Family Developments in Tiverton, serving a total of 188 residents. And finally, recommending $150,000 in funding for Women's Development Corporation and its management company, Housing Opportunities Corporation, to support resident service coordinator for 9 family developments located in Providence, Richmond, and Warwick. Available for questions.
I have questions. Leanne, do you have questions?
Do we want a question here? Do we want to put it up?
Let's put the motion up.
I make a motion to approve.
And I second it. Let's have discussion. Leanne, can you ask your questions, please?
Sure. So my question is about the clear oversubscription for these resources, and I know that this program has been funded by the agency before, correct?
Yes.
So can you speak a little bit to how many of these are new, and for agencies that did not get funding this year but maybe did last year, how that might impact our programming?
Sure. This year, as you say, there was a clear oversubscription. We had a lot of people asking. I think a big part of that was due to the fact that we specified resident service coordination as one of the highlighted areas. There is a great need for resident service coordination across the state, and many of the proposals that we received were specific to that. I think that, you know, it was certainly a challenge to go through and evaluate because of, as we know, the great need, but the ones that we were able to fund, I think, clearly demonstrated the necessity for their programs. I would say that, you know, if anything, what we've learned from this round relative to other rounds is that we may need to look at how to assist with resident service coordination on a broader scale, or look at ways to leverage what we can do with other partners to fund that. It is, you know, if COVID revealed anything to us, it's that people do struggle in ways that you know, is not often evident, but it's certainly necessary for them to remain in housing, that they get the type of assistance that resident service coordinators can provide.
I think ideally, if we can finance the position or capitalize a reserve for a position at the project level, that would probably be the optimal way to fund this, or somehow match it with surplus cash projections at the project level. Mm-hmm. So we are going to look at that, Leanne, moving forward to see whether or not it's something we can capitalize.
And one of the reasons why we moved to the 3-year funding model, previously it had been a 1-year award, was because when you're funding an activity like resident service coordination, consistency is as important as anything else. And the idea that folks can now plan to have, 3 years of this funding, and I anticipate we will continue with that going forward, just as a general rule.
The last part of my question, though, agencies that may have been funded in previous years but were not renewed this year?
Sure. Let's see. There were 4 that were funded last year that were not funded this year. NeighborWorks was the only returning grantee, and that was largely because the effort that they're going to be conducting with this is an expansion of what they did last year. It was integrating a Salesforce package that will allow them to address all of their residents' needs in kind of real time, identify opportunities for their other programs, and provide resident feedback and services in a comprehensive way. They're adding on more of that work to do resident service coordination this year. So it was a natural extension of what we'd funded in the past. I think the part of the reason why some of the issues were not continued was a change in the focus of the program, that we highlighted different things, and they were not necessarily the same things that we'd highlighted in previous years. We really, again, due to the feedback we've gotten from our partners and the feedback that we know from the particularly leased housing and resident services folks, that is really critical to address resident service coordination and focus on that is what we wanted to do this year.
James, I had just a couple of questions. It just seems that intuitively looking at these amounts, they would provide a meaningful impact on these candidates for the awards. But is there any kind of outcome outcome or reporting that we do on that? And how
yeah,
does
we
that
receive
work?
Quarterly reports from each grantee, and we're able to track that over the course of the year. And as we go along, if there are challenges that they're experiencing that they didn't anticipate, we can work with them to kind of target that funding and make sure that they're able to achieve the outcomes that they set forth in their grant proposal.
Do we report those evaluations to the board, or are they included as part of the annual report that you...
They haven't been, but that's something we can do.
I think it would make sense because it's
sure.
a
okay.
positive thing that we can
yeah.
brag about a little bit, I think. And
yeah.
I hope.
Actually,
yes,
good program.
Previous
yeah.
grantees have all done well with...
yeah, I just think it makes sense because it... It also, to the extent that you could, maybe it suggests that there's, because of the oversubscription and the amount of impact, maybe it's something worth investigating, expanding, or, you know, figuring out a way to get more funding too, because
mm-hmm.
having a strong impact, because there's a lot of demand for it. And these are things which seem to be meaningful, so, you know, you really can make a difference. You're not trying to spread the peanut butter too thin. You're actually targeting winners.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? So let's ask for Ben to conduct a voice vote and report the results, please.
This is Corinne speaking. Commissioners, if you are in favor of recommending the approval of fiscal year 2022 Community Development Program funding awards as presented, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
Thank you, Corinne. It's Jim Thorson again for committee action number three, recommendation for approval of engagement of consultant for rent relief RI partners capacity building. And for this item, we're going to ask Christine Hunsinger, Chief Innovation Strategy Officer, who will present committee action number three.
Thank you. This is Chris. This request seeks authorization for RI Housing to engage BDO FMA to provide financial capacity building services to the rent relief nonprofit partners. The goal of this engagement is to help these partners build financial and grant management knowledge and skills, as well as develop the infrastructure and practices necessary for long-term financial resilience. We issued an RFP in April of 2022 and only received one qualified proposal. We did have a committee score them, and they scored very high. They've done this kind of work here in the past. We did touch base with the Rhode Island Foundation, and they said that the work that had been done for them in a very similar capacity had been well received by both them and the folks who participated in it. We are seeking authorization for up to $36,750 for them to conduct a series of assessments of the partners' willingness to participate and their needs, and then to do some group seminars where, like 2-hour seminars where they go over certain things, and then to offer coaching to some of the individual organizations. What really drives this is that during COVID and during rent relief, we knew that we needed different groups to reach out to different communities, people who had connections in communities that we didn't. And sometimes there's this cycle of can't contract with them because they don't have capacity, but they can't get capacity because they don't get a chance to do the work. So the rent relief partners, particularly the ones that were brought on earlier, later in the second phase, are smaller organizations that we feel might benefit from this kind of capacity building and really kind of set them on a path to being able to bid on other proposals here at Rhode Island Housing and throughout the state to really target those communities that are sometimes often ignored. So staff recommends approval and seeks authorization.
It's Jim Thorson again. I'd like to request a motion.
Evan Orth.
Action number three, state your name.
This is Leanne. I make a motion to approve.
And it's Jim Thorson. I second. Do we have any questions or concerns?
I do have a question, Chairman.
Okay.
This is Leanne. Christine, can you confirm that this would be out of the Rent Relief Rhode Island administrative?
It would not come from the rent relief dollars. It would come from Rhode Island housing funds. We do not believe that this would be an eligible expense under those federal dollars, mm-hmm. but we think it's important enough to put our resources behind it.
Okay. And obviously the program is closed, so the goal would be to set these agencies up to be ready for other proposals. Can you tell me a little bit, like, what kind of, I don't know that most of the partners were development partners, so what kinds of programs would you foresee them potentially participating in?
Right, so I don't know that we anticipated COVID or rent relief or those kinds of things, but programs that require outreach and require connection with communities in the future, and not just here at Rhode Island Housing, but throughout the state, throughout different efforts, whether it be the Department of Health or small business outreach, those kinds of things. I think these partners would be good partners to have, and I think giving them some tools up front to set up their financial capacity would probably make them more likely to be successful in those future endeavors.
Sorry, just one more quick one.
Sure.
Would this be open to just partners that were chosen or some of the agencies that applied but were not selected to be?
So it would be for the rent relief partners that were chosen.
Okay.
We don't anticipate that all of them will take advantage. Some of them are larger partners and have this skill set, but some of the smaller ones we anticipate being interested.
So, I have no further questions. Corinne, would you please conduct the voice vote and report the results?
Certainly. This is Corinne speaking. If you're in favor of recommending approval of the engagement of a consultant for Rent Relief RI Partners Capacity Building as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. Jim Thorson again, please. I'm here to introduce committee action number 4, which is a recommendation for approval of the Public Housing Authority, PHA, annual plan. And once again, we have James Comer, our Deputy Executive Director, who will present committee action number 4. James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is James Comer. As Housing and Mortgage Finance Corporation acts as a public housing authority with respect to the administration Section 8 tenant-based rental assistance through the Housing Choice Voucher Program. In accordance with Title V of the Quality Housing and Work Responsibility Act of 1998, Rhode Island Housing must adopt a streamlined annual PHA plan for this program that establishes goals and objectives for meeting the housing needs of the corporation's jurisdiction. The annual plan includes Rhode Island Housing strategies for expanding the supply of assisted housing, promoting family self-sufficiency, and ensuring equal opportunity in housing. It must be approved by the Board of Commissioners and forwarded to HUD. In accordance with the requirements under the Act, the annual plan was circulated to a resident advisory board for review. In addition, there was a 45-day public comment period that was advertised, culminating in a public hearing on May 23, 2022. One comment regarding community harmony was received from a member of the resident advisory board. No comments were received from the public. Rhode Island Housing's government relations and policy staff has reviewed the annual plan to ensure consistency with the state's consolidated plan. There were no material changes to the plan over last year's plan. Any questions?
I make a motion to approve this agenda.
I'll second it. Any discussion or questions?
I just have one quick question. This is Leanne. The significant amendment, this was before us a different time, right? So the policy amendment, temporary policy supplement for the emergency housing
district?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Corinne, would you please conduct the voice vote and report the results?
Yes, this is Corinne Myers. If you're in favor of recommending approval of the Public Housing Authority or PHA annual plan as presented, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the ayes appear to have it.
Thank you, Corinne. Jim Thorson here again for agenda item number 5, which is the recommendation for approval of Healthy Housing, Healthy Communities funding. And again, James Comer will present action number 5. James?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is James Comer again. This request for action is for the approval of an allocation of funds in the amount of $1 million from Rhode Island Housing for the purpose of funding the Healthy Housing, Healthy Communities Initiative. The requested funding will leverage an award by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Rhode Island in the amount of $4 million, which was made to the Local Initiative Support Corporation in November of 2021. The purpose of this BECBSRI award is to fund projects that support innovative financing to produce and preserve housing, provide down payment assistance, and invest in community facilities to support our most vulnerable Rhode Islanders. As part of this initiative, LISC has reached out to community partners, including Rhode Island Housing, to supplement the BCBSRI award with additional funding to broaden its impact. Senior staff at Rhode Island Housing has been working to identify a potential avenue for support, which best aligns with our mission and furthers our goals of providing high-quality, affordable housing for all Rhode Islanders. Contemporaneously with this, through our membership in the National Council of State Housing Finance Agencies, Rhode Island Housing was invited to respond to an H3C request for proposals, that's Healthy Housing, Healthy Communities, issued by NCSHA in partnership with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. This RFP sought proposals to apply for grant funding and technical assistance to promote development of partnerships with health-related organizations and systems. On May 4, 2022, NCSHA notified Rhode Island Housing of a successful proposal, including a $150,000 award and technical assistance to identify partnerships and other innovative approaches to align housing and healthcare investments. Using these funds and the $1 million award contemplated in this action, Rhode Island Housing will partner with LISC Rhode Island and with the five of the health equity zones throughout the state.
Communities. That amounts to figuring out who lacks access to opportunity and if there are differences based on protected status, working to address those differences. It means actively promoting integration and reducing segregation and working to transform racially or ethnically concentrated areas of poverty into areas of opportunity. Right now, HUD is implementing AFFH through an interim final rule. The interim final rule does two things. It sets up a voluntary fair housing planning process in which HUD's role is to provide technical assistance. The other thing the interim final rule does is requires program participants like Rhode Island Housing to certify that they will affirmatively further fair housing in their consolidated plans, in their annual action plans, and their PHA plans. The idea is that the certifications will be supported by the voluntary planning activities. The interim rule does not have very strong enforcement mechanisms. The rule focuses on planning procedures and technical assistance on HUD's part rather than enforcement tools. Are there any questions so far?
I have questions, but I think I can wait till the end of your presentation.
Okay, happy to answer as we go. So how does Rhode Island Housing meet these obligations? It's different for each of the covered programs, but the general idea is to use careful and well-balanced selection criteria to harmonize between the need to invest in historically underinvested communities and the need to promote free movement into areas that are not historically concentrated by race, ethnicity, or poverty. I'll go through each program to explain how Rhode Island Housing does that. In terms of consolidated planning, Rhode Island Housing is the lead agency for consolidated planning on behalf of the state. The planning process sets the groundwork and the priorities for deploying the federal formula grant funding through the HUD Department of Community Planning and Development, CPD. We administer some of those funding sources here, namely HOME and HTF. Through the CON plan, we've identified the local, what we abbreviate as RECAPs, racial and ethnically concentrated areas of poverty. In the most recent survey, there were 7. There were 3 in Providence, 2 in Woonsocket, and 1 each in Pawtucket and South Kingstown. Now, these are the areas where a housing agency would want to be very intentional about its activities so as to promote integration and reduce segregation. At the same time, the CON plan recognizes a high statewide priority to remove barriers to fair and affordable housing statewide. And this conclusion comes basically from the fact of the very insufficient supply of affordable housing overall. Basically, the barriers to having enough affordable housing in Rhode Island are so widespread and so many, to name 2, zoning challenges and public infrastructure challenges, that affordable housing development becomes so difficult that it in itself depresses fair housing choice. There's just not enough affordable housing. So the CON plan, the takeaway from the CON plan on the fair housing points is that almost anything that you do to preserve or develop affordable housing will further fair housing in the sense that it will expand or improve choice. There are other strategies identified in the CON plan, like collaborating on fair housing education and legislative efforts, tackling NIMBYism, and so forth. But for our purposes, the CON plan sets the context for the decision making around the deployment of those formula funds. How we deploy them is kind of more particularly addressed in the action plan. It's a related planning document that speaks to the strategies that further the CON plan's findings. The action plan actually has a specific section that covers the geographic selection criteria for the covered HUD programs and how you balance the reality of the statewide housing shortage with the fair housing interest in AFFH. The selection method in our RFPs here at Rhode Island Housing for HOME and HTF is meant to mirror the findings in this plan. So for HOME and the Housing Trust Fund, the scoring system that we deploy favors communities that have not yet achieved affordability for a minimum of 10% of the year-round housing stock. You may remember that the jurisdictions that have achieved 10% include Providence and Woonsocket, which account for 5 of the 7 RECAP areas. In Rhode Island, the rationale for prioritizing funding this way, based on the 10%, comes directly from the legislative findings in the LOMOD Act, where the GA finds an acute shortage of affordable, accessible, safe, and sanitary housing and places an imperative on every city and town to create low and moderate income housing. The other geography-related selection points for home and HTF are for project features that improve economic opportunity for the future residents. Things like accessibility to transit, employment centers, high-performing schools, and other community services. So in addition, there are some other points available for alignment with con plan priorities. And when you take these criteria together, the idea is to promote one of the main goals of AFFH, which is to transform racially or ethnically concentrated areas of poverty into areas of opportunity. Okay, that covers the formula programs for Rhode Island Housing. I was going to move on to Section 8 next, unless you have any questions on that part.
I don't want to digress from your presentation. A lot of stuff sort of going through my head.
Okay.
And it has to do with not just housing, employment, education, and just livability. We're at a point now where we have an unemployment rate at less than 4%. In essence, that's full employment, frictional unemployment. Anybody who essentially wants a job can get a job, but it's not enough to get a job, because if you get a job, it doesn't necessarily mean you can afford to find a place to live. But the two are very interconnected. I mean, in the past, we've had situations where there are people who, it's not just that the housing is unaffordable, it's that they can't afford any kind of housing because they don't have a job. And these issues seem to me to be interrelated, and education as well. That I think there's a theory that you can't make somebody wealthy necessarily by handing them a pile of cash. And I don't know that you can make them a homeowner by giving them a home either. So this is just, I'm wondering how all this interrelates, or does it interrelate, because this is Rhode Island Housing, it's not the whole wraparound. And what the question is, here at the bottom of all this musing is how does this program integrate or not with other programs to lift people up out of poverty and give them the opportunity to be successful?
Of course, yes. So I think we are a piece of the puzzle, right? As you just said, right? We're not the everything, we can do everything for everyone. We're a piece of the pie. And I think, Jim, if you think back, I mean, that was the purpose of the Housing Resources Commission, mm-hmm. was to bring other industry sectors to the table, Department of Administration, you know, unemployment, you know, BHDDH, a number of State Department heads to the table to think through exactly these matters. How do all of the pieces fit together? So we try very hard on our side to contribute in ways that are meaningful around housing, and we look to our state partners to help us in other areas.
Okay. I hope this works, because it does look great, but the coordination aspect of it is something I find troubling.
Yes, yes.
Because you can't push on one thing and expect everything to move along with it.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
but,
right.
But, you know, you have to do something that's the affirmatively affirmative, right? Please continue. I'm sorry, Corinne.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, okay.
And I just want to confirm that at least for home and Housing Trust Fund, that when Rhode Island Housing has submitted its PHA plan, comp plan, and action plan, that we haven't received any concerns, feedback from HUD that we are not meeting these, like, we put in the plans every year. Do they ever say back you're not meeting the goals of AFFH?
No, not that I've been aware of. In terms of, since you mentioned the PHA plan, the next set of programs I wanted to talk about were our Section 8 programs. Our PHA plan, which was on the agenda for today, sets forth our public housing authorities' policies and strategies for meeting local housing needs, and it includes a certification that the PHA will affirmatively further fair housing in its operations. And we do this in a few ways. We promote integration and attempt to reduce segregation by offering tenant-based subsidies, which expand choice. We participate in the centralized wait list, ensuring that applicants can widely apply to programs and housing accommodations throughout the state. And our briefing program for new participants includes a lot of information on how to use your voucher both inside and outside Rhode Island Housing's jurisdiction. It provides maps and maps specifically that show neighborhoods outside of areas of poverty or minority concentration, and also includes information about the characteristics of those areas, such as job centers, schools, transportation. The PHA plan also includes a certification regarding review for consistency with the consolidated plan. So in that way, we're making sure that we are running all of these programs and making decisions in alignment with one another and with our data and our policy objectives. Now, related to this, the IRS has taken the view that the Qualified Allocation Plan, the QAP, should also further AFFH, even though the tax credit program is not a HUD funding program. So as a result, and in recognition of that interpretation of the IRS, our QAP presents a balanced approach to making funding decisions, one that considers a whole range of factors, and this is what we talked about at length at our April board meeting. But to be kind of more specific about AFFH in our QAP, the tax code requires that preference be given to developments that serve the lowest income residents and also developments that are located in qualified census tracts, QCTs. Now, QCTs are census tracts where at least 50% of the residents earn less than 60% of area gross median income, or where the poverty rate exceeds 25%. So you might naturally conclude that placing LIHTC projects in those QCTs risks exacerbating concentrations of poverty. So Rhode Island Housing gives the QCT preference only where a project would confer an added benefit to the neighborhood. And I think this goes to your comments earlier about trying to take a more holistic view. We require that the added benefit, so to speak, be spelled out in a concerted community revitalization plan, a CCRP. A CCRP is a bona fide pre-existing planning document that explains the need for revitalization in a particular geographic area. And it's a planning document that also identifies a strategy for bringing other non-housing amenities to that neighborhood. So this approach of requiring a plus factor or a value add, not just housing in your proposal, but also an added benefit to the existing community, is an approach that allows us to target our housing resources to places where those resources can really help transform a legacy low-income area into an area of opportunity and disrupt a past pattern of segregation. Do you have a question about that?
No, I don't.
No, I was guessing based on your expression.
You?
I have a question. Yeah, mine are more like actual technical. I have a lot of big questions, but I'm just sort of bypassing this. But the CCRP, who writes those?
So Anne can probably tell you a little bit about what we have seen, but that it's something that's provided by the applicant as a way of demonstrating that their proposal fits in with a pre-existing maybe municipal plan.
Generally, it's municipal.
It's municipal,
yes.
Or countywide, but more often municipal.
Yeah.
And we're in a neighborhood plan that's been blessed by the municipality.
Okay, and did those documents serve any other purpose? Like, why are these required by another agency? Why would they exist?
They're typically done by the planning department or as a result of something that the planning department implemented or was going to implement. We specifically don't allow a CCRP that is specific to a piece of property that is the subject of the application. It has to have sort of broader implications.
Okay. And the applicant can't write one.
Correct.
Right. Right. It has to be an existing.
Just trying to understand where these
are.
No
document.
Bill nor
yeah.
Painter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the applicants, most applicants that come in for our tax credit program do a very good job of outlining what the neighborhood looks like, services and programs that are available, amenities that are proximate to the developments, but these are documents that lie generally at the municipal level.
Okay. Thank you.
The only thing I would add is that, Carol, was it 2017, 2018, NCSHA updated their best practices for local housing tax credits, and there was a specific conversation around CCRPs, and that's actually when we added it. So it's at least 3 or 4 years since we've added that requirement.
So that really covers the material that I wanted to share with you. If you have any other questions or discussion points, please.
I will mention that we had the opportunity to meet with a representative from the
South Providence Neighborhood Association.
Neighborhood Association. We had a very good discussion with Dwayne Keith around their concerns about the Crossroads development. It was a good conversation, and we have invited Crossroads in to come in and speak with us about their future plans.
That's great. I give them money every year, and I'd like to see how they're going to spend it.
I think I would be remiss if I didn't tie this all together by pointing out that our new strategic plan does include a goal for driving innovation, diversity, equity, and accessibility in housing development, mortgage financing, and leasing service. So everything we do.
Great. Ian, do you have any other questions?
No.
In that case, there's no further business being here before the committee, and I request a motion to adjourn.
This is Leanne. I make a motion to adjourn.
Jim Thorson seconds. Corinne, can you conduct a voice vote?
Certainly. If you're in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The ayes have it.
Thank you, Corinne. This meeting of management committee is now adjourned. Thank you for
Thank you.